Now, once again, here's Mark.
Well, good morning, everybody. 4 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock. My name is Mark Salem, and we're here. Oh, boy, we are hot, aren't we? It's all me. It's not you guys. I can tell you that much right now. Alrighty, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960, and I'll adjust everybody and so that we can all be fine.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay.
You should see the screen.
I do.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm a little hot, aren't I?
Yeah, it's doing a little better.
When you're all red, it means you're really hot. So somewhere along the line, I'll just do that right there and bring us down a little bit, and it made it a lot better.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you know how many inputs I have here?
Well, it depends.
Four.
Well, you got more than that.
Yeah, I know, but what I'm saying is it's coming in and it's going out here, and then it's coming in and going out there.
Yeah.
So in order to get what we're hearing in our headphones, I have four different adjustments. Uh-huh. That's the problem with car mechanic trying to run the jet engine, the jet that we're sitting on right
yeah.
now.
Yeah. Well, that's because you haven't worked on anything new recently.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah.
Okay. Your mic went off. You're done.
This ain't going to be a good show, Mark.
Oh, it's not going to be a good show. Okay. Well, we've got Eric and Kurt here from Kurt's Auto. Alan's here, and my son. And between the four of us, we know everything there is to know about anything. We can help you with your marital problems. We can talk about your dog having
the squirts.
What did you say?
What?
Did you say what I thought
yeah,
he said?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be a bad day. Okay. We can talk about anything you want, but we're mostly car guys.
Yeah, that's better.
And so if you've got a car question, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. We can work on off-road vehicles. So we got Polaris and Can-Am covered. We've got off-road vehicles like quads covered. We got boats with boat motors or car motors in an inboard outboard. We've got those covered. We got cars, trucks, and diesels. And I think you'll agree that we can probably give marital advice if somebody wants it.
They might want to check our history before they go too deep.
Wait, I don't think anybody's been divorced here.
No.
Yeah. I think we got it.
We all married very forgiving wives, yes.
Yes. Yeah.
Very forgiving wives.
Yeah.
You better talk to Alan's wife. There's a big difference there, boys. I'm telling you right now. Wow. All righty. 602-508-0960. So I'm not going to talk about Kurtz, but I am going to talk about Auto Dynamics. In Sun City, 1982, they started. I've known Chuck since 1968. So when folks ask me in the Sun City area, who do you trust? My answer has always been and will be Auto Dynamics. And they're on the north side of Grand Avenue, just west of 99th Avenue, and it's called Automotive Dynamics. So if you're up in that area, then it's a good thing. Either one of you two guys had a car that just kind of kicked your butt this last week or this last month? Or?
Well, I hate it when people say they gave me a good part and they didn't.
That creates a problem. Why don't you just briefly touch on the process of that?
Well, everything's went heavy computer electronics, everything like that. So you got these modules that aren't purchasable anymore, so you got to send them out to have repaired.
Uh-huh.
They send it out. I mean, do my testing, powers, grounds, circuitry, it's all good. Send it out, have it repaired, and they say nothing's wrong with it. Send it back to me. It doesn't work. So I've been dealing with idiots for...
Okay, so what'd you do?
Changing sources.
Oh, okay, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
Yeah,
they sent it out twice.
Okay.
It still ain't fixed.
Okay, now, they, is it a parts venue without saying the name?
Yes, parts venue that uses a country-based manufacturer.
Okay, okay. So other than the United States, country-based.
Well, no. It's back in the East company.
Okay, okay. Yeah. So it's a company, and you turned over the module, and they send it to somebody, and twice it's come back, and it's no different than you handed it to them.
Yes.
Okay. But the proof of the pudding, I'm going to take their side for about 2 seconds. The proof of the pudding is what fixes it.
Yeah.
Right.
We'll know next week because I'm going to go order a different module.
Okay. Okay. And so what did the car come in for?
A lack of throttle response.
Okay. So was it throttled by wire?
Yeah.
Okay. Throttled by wire, folks, is there's a sensor on the throttle pedal and a receiver on the engine, and whatever the pedal tells the computer tells the motor on the throttle blades.
And basically the drivers inside the computer that control the throttle have went bad.
Okay.
But they're not finding it.
Okay. What kind of car is this?
A Jeep. Grand Cherokee, 5.7 Hemi.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to tase a Peugeot or something like that.
And then they didn't know nothing about electronics. What are you talking about?
Yeah, yeah. So why not just buy a brand new one or not available?
Like 3 or 4 times the cost and very hard to find.
Okay. So your only option on this is to send it out and have it fixed.
Uh-huh.
But these guys are saying, we plugged it in and we find nothing wrong with it.
Right.
But and you say, is the problem is I got the car and you don't.
Right.
And so when I plug it into the car, we have a problem.
Yeah.
Okay. And you're right. For the folks out there, our job, the transmission of information in and information out is not necessary. We can watch that on our scanner.
Right.
As opposed to a code reader.
Right.
People get those mixed up.
They're very different.
What's your scanner cost?
Which one?
Give me a...
The cheapest was $3,000.
Okay. And the most expensive?
$8,000.
And then a code reader? Is
$50.
$50, mm-hmm. Yeah. So the code gives you the code,
yeah.
But it doesn't let you look at the information that the computer came up with.
Right.
So you have to, you go in there and you find out throttle responses, and I'm not getting a voltage here, or I've lost a ground here, or something like that.
Right.
So you've identified the pin and the miss.
Yes.
What's missing? And nobody can find it.
So now the real question is looking back now, would you have just paid the 3 or 4 times to buy a new one?
On the hindsight, but I've never had this problem before. Okay. I've usually get them repaired.
Okay, are you going to use this vendor again?
The vendor, yes. Their builder?
Yeah.
No,
okay.
Probably not.
All right. Okay. Okay. I'm just wondering.
Well, we're masochists. We like beating.
Okay. Ned, are you using a parts supplier like one I might use?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Does it start with a P or an F?
Neither one of those.
Oh, N.
Yes.
Okay. Fair enough. Fair enough. Okay. All right. So, and you know, that's a big movement right now. There's a lot of movement. They're coming in and making lots of promises about cars. I don't understand that because are you guys slower than you are standing around all day long?
No.
Neither is anybody.
No.
Nobody is. Why are they dropping their prices? Why are they soliciting new business?
Well,
when
they're soliciting new business. They're not dropping the prices. They're soliciting new business because they can get parts that others can't.
I'm glad you brought that up because that is, however, in reality, we're not having any problem getting parts because our parts people just understand that the same part number can be displayed in a variety of different brands.
Right.
A friend of mine who used to work on the radio on another station mm-hmm. with me called me up and he has a big diesel motorhome and it has an air compressor that's bad. And evidently, it's on factory back order, and the next expected unit is sometime in the 3,000 range.
Yeah, you know why? We just bought the last one.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Well, I'd like to buy it so I can get it to him.
My customer was happy to have their truck back.
Okay. And so I said, has anybody looked it up by application? Because it's got a Cummins motor.
Right.
And the question is no. They're going by application only. I said, well, that truck came in a variety of different configurations.
Yeah.
Just go order a dryer or a compressor from that truck. No. Hey, my guys know what they're doing. Okay, well, fine. Then I can't help you.
Yeah. No, there was one. We had one, a big box truck for a company we were working on. And the compressor, would it take us 4 months?
About 3 or 4 months
yeah,
to get it.
For the air brakes.
It was a Cummins motor, and it was on national back order through Cummins. And it was the compressor for the air brakes, and it sat there for a long time, and we finally got one.
Now, the air compressor, this is a commercial vehicle with air brakes that when you hit the brakes, it goes,
yeah.
So everybody understands.
Yeah.
So we need air to stop the truck.
Yeah.
We need a compressor to run. The real problem is when you have no air, the truck won't move because the brakes are locked.
Right.
The fail-safe is when you lose air, you lose brakes.
Yep.
Right. Or you gain brakes.
Yeah.
It's going to self-apply the brakes.
So if you blow a line, it auto-applies the brakes.
And it's a scary ride. You're driving down the road 70, 80 miles an hour, and all of a sudden the airline blows off and the rear brakes lock up, and you are just – the seat covers are moving underneath the bottom of your pants. You're just – not too long ago, we had a Ford Escort in here that needed an ignition lock. And, of course, the ignition lock, it was stolen. It had been stolen, and they weren't available anywhere in the world.
Didn't we have one of them Escort or Escape or something that we had a nightmare with a lock?
Yeah, some of these older things, they're running so much longer, and I can't get parts anymore. It's getting harder and harder on some of this older stuff.
Well, Jeff took and crossed the number over into a variety of different things, and he found one in Texas for $500. So we had it the next day. Because insurance companies
insurance
they don't care.
Yeah.
So
it is what it is.
It is what it is, and we didn't make a dime on it. We were embarrassed to charge him more than $500 for a lock cylinder that should have cost $80, $90.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, it's, but we are having success with changing part numbers.
Yeah.
Going from Napa to Bendix and Bendix to this and moving the part number around and then Googling the part number.
We've been having to do a lot of that to figure out how they cross things.
Now, in our industry, the big discussion right now happens to be pricing and part numbers on the work orders. Are you experiencing people Googling the part number on the work order and then asking you about the pricing?
No, because we could quit giving them part numbers.
Okay.
We don't print part numbers on the invoice.
And that seems to be the real path it's the path of least resistance for the shop.
Yeah.
Okay. And actually what we're doing is we're scrambling the part number. Mm-hmm. We're actually using the invoice number with a code for the vendor because that brings us to the thing. The issue is that when do you guys look at stuff that you're buying from Lowe's or Home Depot on the internet and look at a part number or anything like that? Do you ever shop the internet for something that a washer part or anything?
Not really.
Well, I just go get it if I need it.
What I'm finding out is there isn't the big difference between what you can get it on the internet and what we're selling it for.
Yeah.
There isn't that big of a difference.
Uh-uh.
Not.
There is exceptions to that.
Right.
But it's a $4 part that has a $12 list. But you're not going to find a $400 part with a $1,200 list.
No.
Okay? You're not going to find that.
Right.
So, and then the dealers are playing games with respect to, are they printing a list price for you guys or not? Your invoices?
They still put the list price on the invoice, but
okay.
it looks made up because sometimes it doesn't have any correlation to what we're paying for it.
And our software allows us to look at that, and we go, well, the last time we paid a whole lot less for this part than we did this time, and the list price, according to them, is now up. But it's just a game that everybody is involved in right now.
Yeah.
So either you're a victim or you're part of the problem one way or the other. It's
because sometimes there's only one dealer that's got that part. We've had a part from dealers that are close to us. They don't have them, but some dealer clear across town's got it. So you're going to pay whatever they want.
And we find that we're finding that a lot, too. We're finding that a lot, too. Anyway, the good news is oil's still available, and so is gasoline right now.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know about that.
What?
Well, they're out of 1540. They've been out for 2 months.
Synergy?
Yeah.
Okay.
Everybody.
Yeah, we're having some oil supply problems a little bit, too.
540's almost gone.
Yeah.
Okay.
Can't get additives.
What's plan B?
Buy them in boxes.
Okay.
It just costs everybody more.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's obviously going to do that. Well, I do have a oil issue and then we're going to take a break. Last week, for whatever reason, someone asked about the oil in my truck and I told him, evidently I told him it was a 020 synthetic. Well, that's not the truth. I just had the oil change and it's a 540 synthetic. That's what's in my diesel.
Yeah.
So somebody called me on that, and I had to go listen to the tape, and I sure as hell did. I said 020.
Yeah.
Well, a 020 is an applicable oil for your diesel. It is, according to two of the oil experts. However, the 540 is a much more appropriate oil.
Yeah.
And so I made that mistake. 602-508-0960 if you have a car question or comment. 602-508-0960.
Well, thank you
for sticking with us, and I think everything else is good.
Yeah.
We might be a little hot there, but nevertheless, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. And if you'd like to join us, you can. All you have to do is call us, 602-508-0960. And before we take anything, we're going to go to Hutch, because Hutch and Chris called in. So, Hutch, how can we help you today?
Hey, Mark. Hope you're having a good day.
We are. Yeah, thank you.
I called you last week. I was having problems with my power steering.
Okay.
And I was on my way over to Kurt's. And so I dropped it off for the weekend, and I talked to him Monday morning, because they're unfortunately closed on the weekend. And apparently it was something with the racket and pinion. I don't know what, because unfortunately I'm not a mechanic. But it was all covered under warranty because I had my racket and pinion fixed last year by them. And so that was good news. But since it was in there, I went ahead and had the transmission flushed and serviced and the plugs and new plug wires and everything put on. But running like a dream. So kudos to Kurt.
Oh, gee, many Christmas. This all started because your windshield wipers were streaking your windows and they stroked you for all of that?
Yeah, but we replaced the rack for warranty.
Holy mackerel, you guys.
Holy well, yeah, they replaced the whole rack and pinion and everything, so, you know.
It was good news. Yeah, I understand, but, you know, it's just hard to kind of swallow when you come in for an oil change and then your bill's like $1,000 when you leave. But that's all right. That's okay. No,
we're higher than that, but, you know. Yeah.
I believe you. All right. Well, listen, thank you very much. And as you know and I know, Kurtz does a good job up at I-17 in Bell. He's my go-to guy up in that area. And And whatever Kurt can't fix, then Eric can, according to Eric. I'm just telling you what
Eric said. I think it's the other way around, Mark.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, if they bring in an
old
65.
So anybody in the West Valley, if they need a good mechanic, Kurt's Automotive is the way to go.
All righty. Well, thank you very much, Hutch. Thank you very much. All righty, Chris, you're up next.
Check's in the mail.
No, Chris, you're up next. Go ahead, sir.
Question with an answer. I smell coolant. My buddy's a mechanic. He looked. It's a Murano. And he said it easiest, you need hoses and fluid. At middle, you're going to need a new radiator. At worst, you're going to need water pump, which is tearing everything apart. So I have no problem with that. But you guys have to jump through hoops with all of your disposable stuff. And, you know, your oil, your fluids, your used stuff. And now these guys are shooting rockets up in space just to have people look. And when they send a rocket up, it pokes a hole in the aerosol, in the ozone. And remember, we couldn't use spray deodorants because they were killing the earth and we can't use a gasoline gas blower?
Yeah.
How can they do that? What do you spend a month, what do you spend a week on disposable fees? Ridiculous amounts, correct?
Thousands and thousands of dollars.
Yeah, people have no clue about that. It's unbelievable.
Well, yeah. So. Anybody want to take that one? Gallon?
What, the disposable fees?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I mean, hundreds of dollars a month.
And we really do, because every part of it. But what bothers me about your call is real simple. We got a guy who said that your coolant leak, and he covered every possibility that your car has. Now, we don't do that.
He missed the heater core.
We don't do that. Yeah. That's all there is to it. We don't do that.
No. This is a friend. This isn't the he's a master mechanic, but he got let go, so he's making more money working from home. But he just said easiest would be hoses.
Wait, stop. We all heard that. Okay,
no.
That's not what we do for a living.
It's
my turn to talk. We don't do that for a living. We don't do that. So the customer calls up and says, you know, I have an oil leak, and the answer is well, it could be a new engine, it could be a new transmission, a new differential, it could be a brake fluid problem, it could be an air conditioning problem, and he throws out all these leaks. Why doesn't he just diagnose it? How hard is that? So that's my problem with your response is he covered all the bases and he opened up all the doors to have somebody go in there and do a whole bunch of work that could be an oil pressure switch. And how much would that cost, parts and labor installed?
Depends whether it's on.
Oh, shut up and give me a number.
$150.
$150. Yeah.
There you go. Exactly.
So the idea is that I don't think anybody does a real good service when it comes to just throwing that stuff on the wall. They're trying, in my opinion, they're trying to impress the listener by all their knowledge when the listener just wanted to know, can you help me find what I need to fix on this oil leak? And that's really what it all is
about. No, I'm disabled, and he smelled something that didn't smell right. He said oil or radiator, and then he touched the radiator fluid. But there's a big cover under there, and he had to pick his kids up from school.
Okay.
So he was
all right. Well, this is the excuses that we've been going through, but a pressure test really quickly tells us what's the problem. And that would have been the advice that I would have given you, because that's the advice that does you the best. To go through the litany of, you know, I got a owie right here. Well, that could be brain surgery to an ingrown toenail. You know what I mean? And here's the pricing. But anyway, it's okay. And Chris, thank you very much. And you bring up a good point. You smell coolant, and there are a lot of spots on a car.
Yes,
that can leak coolant. What's the most common?
Radiator probably, or water pump, one of them two.
Okay. And the, so freeze plugs is there, but it isn't in the top 10.
No, but I'll tell you.
It's in the top 10 probably. But it's
okay.
Driving, 4,000-mile trip.
Uh-huh.
I'm smelling coolant on my, towing my trailer, smelling trip. I'm like, ah.
This is you. This
is
firsthand
talking.
Okay.
Firsthand talking.
Did your wife help you with this?
I smelt it about 10, 15 minutes before she smelled it.
Uh-huh.
So I'll just tell you my sniffer's a little better than hers.
Okay, okay.
But anyways, she said, you're going to check it? And I'm like, we're going downhill. We're okay. We're going to check it. I'm watching the temperature. You're going to check. All right, we're pulling over and checking it. You know,
okay.
That type of thing.
Right, right.
Looked all around. Couldn't find it. Set up. Went and touched the passenger floorboard. It's all wet. So next little town, found a little parts store, bypassed the heater core, was running through snow with no heater. My wife was not happy. But
that's Kurt's daughter.
Yes.
That's his only daughter.
No.
Yes.
No, oh, I got two.
Oh, you have two.
Oldest.
Yeah. She's the oldest daughter.
Yeah. But okay. I mean, it's one of those things. Smelled coolant. It was probably the worst case scenario on this one, unfortunately.
Isn't this the excuses I was just talking about?
But I found it.
He just proved your point, Mark.
He did.
Yeah.
He did. It's just kind of, but I think the key there was is you smelled it inside the car.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking heater core, because typically you don't smell the, from the engine
compartment.
You typically
don't, unless you're outside. He didn't tell us whether he was inside or outside where
right.
He smelled it.
Right. So you went through the snow with no heater.
Yes.
Okay.
But I have heated seats, so it wasn't that bad.
Oh, so you just had her put her hands down and then sit on her hands? So what did you do about her teeth chattering? Is she still married to you?
Yeah.
Have you been served?
No.
Okay, well, there's a guy outside by the front door that wants to talk to you. So it has to do with abuse or spousal abuse or something. 602-508-0960. 602-508-0960. If you'd like to join us, you certainly can. The time is now, though. 602-508-0960. And Kurtz and Mark and Alan will be back. Well, I'll turn on everybody's microphones. 34 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock. My name is Mark Salem, and we're here, and I'm going to actually put us back in at 2350 because we used all that time. And Gil, I'm just going to tell you right now, send me a copy of both hours from the show, because my end, we haven't got a clue as to what we've been doing. Nevertheless, 602-508-0960. Kurt's here from Kurt's Automotive. Eric is here. I don't know. How are you related to Kurt? Is he your father-in-law?
Yes, he is.
He is father-in-law?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Does he have any bad habits do you want to talk about and ask our listeners for to chime in?
I don't know. Do you got any psychologists with him?
Alan does that.
We'll have Alan Diag in later.
Okay, good enough. All righty. Well, when it comes to car repair shops, Blackwell Automotive is at 40th and Greenway. He covers that northeast quadrant of the valley area. It's hard to find good shops that I can count on to know right from wrong and take good care of customers and fix cars right and have the skills necessary to fix them without guessing. That's the real important thing, is without guessing. So the diagnosis points exactly to the repair, whether it's an adjustment, a cleaning, or a replacement of a part. Blackwell's good. Plus, he does old cars, so he does those vintage cars. So if you have a 32 Ford that needs the emissions set up, then he can certainly do that. We had a car come in the other day that was a 30-model Ford, and the tailpipe was so dirty you could hardly be around the car. It had so much carbon monoxide coming out. I mean, fuel was running out of the tailpipe. After we got done, that thing ran so much better by just tweaking the fuel that was coming out of the tailpipe.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, they thought that, you know, let's add more fuel and it'll run better.
Yeah.
And the oil was like a quart over, and you could just touch it with your fingers and know that it was half gas.
Yeah. You could light it on fire?
Oh, yeah. We didn't do that. It was a Ford, though. I thought about it.
Yeah.
That's it. Okay, we're going to go to the phones. Tom, good morning, buddy.
Good morning. How you doing?
Good, good. Thank you.
Happy holidays to you. And I have a question about I have a Cadillac, and it requires premium fuel. Does it really matter on what octane I put in there?
Okay, we're going to answer this. We're going to start first with Alan. Alan? Alan. Alan, does it make any difference if you put premium or regular in his Cadillac?
What
would you run?
No.
Okay.
I would just run 87.
Go.
I have a Mercedes that calls for 91.
Uh-huh.
And the only difference I notice, because of all the electronics and everything on it can compensate for it, is the amount of power you get.
Okay.
So I get a little bit better fuel economy, a little bit better power when I'm running the premium. but I'm not paying a dollar more a gallon right now.
Okay.
So right now I'm running just standard. When it, you know, a year ago I was running premium, but okay. today I'm not paying for it.
With the electronics and all the adjustments that they do, you ain't going to hurt nothing by running the cheaper fuel. But you may lose a little bit of economy or a little bit of power. If he's going to the drag strip, I'd recommend running the premium.
Okay. All right. And all of those are really good answers. I'm not going to disagree with you a bit. But from a radio point of view, this is the difference. Regular fuel, one molecule ignites 10 and 10 ignite 100. Okay? So it's a kind of a fast burn. The yeah. boom for regular is kind of like this. Boom.
Yeah.
Super, in an exaggerated way, is more of a boom.
Yep.
So it's a little bit more of a push. So one molecule ignites two and two ignites four. And so the burn time is longer
right.
in milliseconds. So the answer to your question is, this is how I've said to people all along. Are you married? Tom?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, yes.
I would get the fuel tank down below as low as you can and tell her to go fill it up. Just tell her once, just once, and not to tell you what she puts in it, and I'll bet you can't tell the difference. Because I don't think I could either. Anybody here think that they could do that?
No, that's why I said if you go into the drag strip, you might be able to tell in tenths of a second or something.
And I'm with you. But in most cars with computer operated, you're not going to be able to tell the difference.
No.
And so I agree that we had a Jaguar that called for premium, and I always put regular in it. And the only thing that we have right now is that twin turbo Corvette, and it doesn't like regular. It really wants the premium stuff. It has a tough time idling and stuff like that. But 99 times out of 100, you'll not be able to tell the difference if somebody fills your tank and doesn't tell you what you have on a conventional car in mainstream world.
Right.
You're not going to be able to tell the difference. So if I were you, I'd do the taste test and get her to fill it up, or you fill it up and see if she can guess. But you have a 1 in 100 chance of guessing right on whether that thing you got a 50-50 chance.
I was going to say, you really got a 1 in 2 chance.
Yeah.
But
yeah, no, you're right. A 1 in 2 chance, but it's going to be a guess no matter what, because you're not going to have anything to hold your to.
Right. Now, is it going to do anything to the valves or the pistons or anything? Or
there's
it's not going to affect anything on that?
There's four heads. Well, there's three heads shaking. Alan's sleeping. But Kurt and Eric and I are shaking our heads. No. Let me change the question. When was the last time that you guys did any major motor work on any car that was related because somebody didn't use premium when the sticker and the gas store said?
No.
Have
no.
you ever?
Not that I can think of.
I think I did. Okay. On a Mustang turbo four-cylinder back in the 80s. If we had number one piston all beat up.
Way too long ago.
Yeah. Before Alan and Eric were born. Yeah.
Yeah, it is before they were born.
Yeah, but no. You said ever.
What? Yeah, boys, what do you think?
I was born in 79, so.
Okay, you're 1 year underneath
me.
Okay. Yeah, and you were really good mechanic in 79 and 80 and 81. But you're right.
Yeah.
It's never happened. So if you change the question slightly, Alan, do you ever remember us doing any work to any, and we do lots of hot rod. We do a lot of vintage.
The answer to your question is no. The only thing is when you start getting into some specific tuning stuff, like Dennis's Jeep, for example, or the Camaro, it will ping on a hot day without premium. But again, that's your one out of your 100.
Yeah.
You said 99 out of 100. That's your one time.
Right.
So, yeah.
And you're talking about cars that give us, or that we have taken the ability to tune ourselves, and we're not working off stock tuning like everybody else is. You're also talking about a Camaro with a blower on it that didn't come with a blower on it. So, but there are examples, but Tom, none of us have changed our mind. There's not going to be any engine damage. There's not going to be any problem. The car's not going to know. The car's not going to care. And you're not going to pay a dime. If you decide to use the cheapest gas you can find.
Okay, I appreciate it.
All right.
Okay,
good luck,
guys. Have a great holiday. Thank you.
Thank you. And it's nice to be unanimous.
Yeah.
I mean, that's an easy one to be unanimous
yes.
on. What do you guys think of Fords?
I love them.
I make them a lot of money.
Hey. So he loves them and you like them because you make a lot
of money. That's why I love them.
Okay.
We'll be late.
Yeah, we are.
Oh, okay, sorry.
Yeah, it's okay. It's all right. I haven't hit a mark since today anyway, right. So why start doing it now?
We hit the 30.
Yeah, we did hit the 30?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Right on.
Okay, all right. All right, well, I'm just going to keep talking. You guys can keep looking at the clock because, to be honest with you, I don't care and Gil doesn't care. But I did talk to the GM the other day. and he calls me, and I'm a little bit worried because I've been a little ornery lately.
And you don't say. And,
lately?
Lately?
That's the word going through my head, lately?
That's Sean Allen.
Yeah. And it started off, I have a car problem, and I'm going, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so, oh, by the way, November 5th of this year was my 10-year anniversary here.
The station?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, 10 years ago, November 5th.
Who'd have thunk it?
Yeah, who'd have thought that he has called me a couple of times, and the conversation starts with, did you really say?
I think the last time that happened was our last show together.
Oh, it was.
Hey, by the way, that guy is a really nice guy. He's been to the shop two or three times.
He's really a good guy.
He hasn't taken you up on your $100 yet because he says he had to fix his wife's car. He said, this is for what I bring my truck in.
Oh, okay. Are you talking about Jim?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Okay,
the one that you asked that question about his wife and how long he'd been married to her.
Oh, you're not talking about the GM for the station?
No.
Okay.
I'm talking about the guy that you insulted last time.
I that's an everyday. I'm just finding out that I don't have a lot of patience lately. You know, it's just really hard.
Again, lately.
That shocked you again, Dana Dallas.
Okay, we'll be right after this. Welcome back, everybody. 46 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock. I'm sitting here. I'm really kind of scared to tell everybody who's here because of some of the things that I've said and you said.
You raised him.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, my son Alan is here, and he runs the shop with my daughter Andy, and Alan also does the diesel performance and the quads and the off-road. And I don't know if you saw it, but he just built a Can-Am out there.
I seen the one he had a few months ago or something.
Yeah, was it black with all the lights on it and everything? Yeah. Okay, well, I took that up to Payson, and I've been taking the neighborhood kids for rides in the forest in it. It's kind of really fast. It jumps really nice and when it lands, it's really nice and smooth. So they're going to go mess with everybody else's property, but not mine because they like me. And so he says he wants to take it. Where are you going in it?
To the dunes.
Okay. So he's going to go to the dunes. And so I brought it back today and dropped it off. But anyway, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. We're seeing a lot of estimates. Are you guys seeing estimates from other places, or are people talking to you about would you like to bid this job because they're holding the estimate kind of close to their chest?
A little, but I don't think it's more than normal.
Okay. All right. It seems to me that I'm getting a lot of emails about that, a lot more than I ever did before. So the question is when you guys see them, is there a big discrepancy between one estimate from one shop and one estimate from another? Or are you seeing some real absurd numbers or not? Because I'm not.
Every once in a while you'll get one that's just bonsai for some odd reason, but most of them are pretty close. They're not too bad off.
Most of us are using labor rates, labor hours, book time hours. And if you're going to fudge it, it isn't going to be by an hour or two or three. It's going to be a tenth of 6 minutes here,
right.
12 minutes here, 18 minutes here, something like that. So I think the labor, but then on the other hand, our labor surveys, Alan, do you remember what the low and the high was on the last one that we did?
I remember that with the average, but I don't remember the low.
What was the average?
Like 148.75 or something.
In the area. And we did we do dealers and independents and all kinds of and chain stores. We do all three of them and then just kind of blend them together. There is a lot of movement in labor rates.
Yeah.
Yes.
Lots of movements in labor rates because I keep track of a lot, and I'm seeing them move on a monthly basis sometimes, but that's just published monthly.
Yeah.
And so I'm unclear as to whether they're publishing it monthly or whether they're actually moving or not moving or they're just I don't know. I don't know what the deal is. What's the labor rate in the shops in your geographical area?
Around 145. What Alan said sounded pretty close to what.
I think it's pretty valley-wide. That sounds about average.
Some of the dealers are pushing 200 on some of the stuff.
Yeah.
Especially on the stuff that the perception by the public, I think, is that they're the only ones that can do that. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to they're the only ones that can do that, Eric,
what can they do that you can't? Reprogram a 2000 or a 2021 model car,
yeah,
or something.
Something
we don't
just
have
ain't got the newest software for. Okay.
Well, we have people that we can do that. You guys can do that. I mean, we have mobile guys.
Yeah,
that.
Yeah,
that.
We
our
can
mobile
do that,
guys can
they,
do that.
I think the answer is
they have a ability to do it just a little faster.
Okay.
And some of that. Aspect.
Well, and you know, I in my opinion, the only thing they have over our head is warranty work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, you're right about that. You're right about that.
There's nothing they warranty, fix stuff for free.
Okay.
You know.
And there's, I think people, there's still people out there that believe that they have to do business there to keep their warranty in place.
Well, I just think that because that has been insinuated when they buy the car from the dealer.
Yeah. So I get how we're getting there.
Yeah.
But it's there is something out there, and it's an act or it's a law or it's something, and I think it's called the Magnuson-Moss Act, I think, that says that if I have to come to you, you have to warranty it or something. There has to be a tie there that it's for free or
right.
something like that.
Yeah.
But I'm also seeing, and I'm blessed because people send me lots of bills and ask me to scrutinize them. I'm also seeing some diagnostic fees that are outside of that warranty area. I've seen that at least once or twice where there's a diagnostic fee of a 119 or 120, and then there's the repair that's under warranty, both the part and the labor.
Yeah.
So I have not seen that before.
Don't send your trailer in for a warranty. That's the way it is.
Is that right?
Yeah. I just got a brand new 22 trailer.
Uh-huh.
Had some issues. Sent it in, and I had a bill for diagnostics.
Okay.
On some warranty stuff.
And did you have a conversation with them? What was their response?
That was, I said, when I showed up, and I says, that's funny. No one told me anything about this going into it.
Right.
And, you know, they reduced it a little bit, but I still had to pay something.
Okay. Did they give you a reason why there's a diagnostic fee on a warranty?
Because the manufacturers of the trailers don't always need to diagnose it, and somebody needs to pay the tech's time.
And I was going to take just a slightly different pitch, is we have to diagnose it before we can determine whether it's warranty or you caused the problem.
Right. And I understand
that. I've heard. Okay, hey, we're going to see if this is under warranty, you know, blah, blah, blah. I need you to approve $250 for us to tear this thing down, understanding we don't know if this is, but then it always goes away if it's warranty.
Okay.
That's how we've done it. Yeah.
All right.
It's one of those things that if they would have, you know, said, we got to check it, but it was just, what really bothered me was the lack of conversation.
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't that I had to pay a few dollar checkout. I mean, I understand it. Being on this side of everything, but
right.
It was just a lack of conversation.
All right, on a 1 to 10 scale, I'm going to ask you this question, and I'm going to take the caller and think about this. On the 1 to 10 scale, our industry is, where are we at today with respect to just chaos, or is it nothing more than just a slight elevation of the normal? I'm giving you two direct differences. Chaos. And
in what regard?
In service. In service work, dealing with customers, dealing with diagnostic fees, dealing with, forget the parts problem and all that other kind of stuff.
I would say it's just normal up a little bit just because we got so many more electronics that people just don't understand.
Okay.
So I would think you just got to communicate so much better than you used to have to.
Okay.
I think the people with not being able to. There was a call, by the way. Without being able to purchase a new vehicle right now, they have to fix their own.
Yeah.
So that, you know, you can't walk into just about any dealership and buy, you know, 2022 Camry, for example.
Right.
So you got to fix your 2017 Camry or whatever that may be.
Hold your thought. I'm going to get the caller.
Yep.
And who's calling?
Say hello to Dennis.
Dennis, good morning. How can we help you?
Mark, hey, great show. I really enjoy it. Hey, you know, it's funny. You guys may have answered my question as I was listening just now. Here's my question. On a brand new car, and this happened, I bought a brand new Lexus, but my brother-in-law bought a brand new GMC. Anyway, long story short, it was under warranty in 2021, less than 30,000 miles on a diesel. He had problems with it quitting, running. He took it into the dealer. I won't say who it was. Big Chevrolet dealer in Scottsdale.
Yeah. Okay,
anyway,
well,
he takes it in, and he's not a wealthy man. They charged him $350 diagnosis fee on a warranty issue.
Okay.
I didn't know that was really right or ethical or, you know.
Well, that's the chaos that I was fishing for.
Yeah.
That's exactly the chaos I was fishing for. It's ironic. You and I didn't talk before I greeted you on the air.
I was just thinking it. So, I bought a new Lexus, and I'm wondering, am I going to get hit with a diagnostic fee when I go in or something's wrong?
Well, let me tell you this, and I'm going to speak for all three of these guys, but we're getting close to the break. You're not going to – it doesn't appear that that kind of stuff is going to happen or is happening in the independent and even chain store market. It seems to be – we've got three different markets. We got dealerships. We got independent shops like mine and Kurt's. And then we got chain stores like Discount Tire, like Big O, like oil change facilities and stuff like that. It's this new – chaos created by who's paying for what up here seems to be in that kind of a range. That's where I'm getting the most the comments and complaints is that kind of stuff. I don't know why that is, but it would be interesting to know if that was something that was forced upon them by the manufacturers.
I'm wondering
if I should go, a person should go to an independent dealer under a warranty issue. Or maybe they wouldn't get charged that up front.
No, because they're not going to ever take our diagnosis. So if you have a problem with your car under warranty and you bring it to Salem and Salem diagnoses it, they're not going to take it. They're going to tear it up and they're going to say, we do our own diagnosis. And in their defense, I do the same thing.
We can't.
But I mean, and you guys can't get paid for warranty work.
No.
Okay, gotcha. Hey, great. You answered my question. It's just really funny. You guys are talking about it.
Yep, that's one of the things that we got to do. Thank you very much, Dennis. Thank you very much for waiting as long as you did. Okay, we're going to come back for another hour of fun and frivolity. In about 2 minutes, we're going to say goodbye. And then we're going to come back at about 4 minutes after the top of the hour. So there's five lines available, and the phone number is 602-508-0960. 602-508-0960. We're not here to beat up on the independent market or the chain store market or the dealership market, but there is some differences from a policy difference that's going on right now when I talk about chaos. Right now there seems to be chaos, and not only chaos, but now that we've got some real big spikes in labor rate, we're seeing shops jumping to those spikes. The question is if they come down, are they going to come down? So we're all watching one another real carefully with respect to hourly wages and shop supplies and all that kind of stuff. And so if all of us were in a small 3-inch band across the screen of a computer, all of a sudden that thing's a mile tall.
Mm-hmm.
We got guys out there that are doing away. There are shops out there that have told me they are doing away with the labor, the hourly labor. We're just going to bid the job. And I think that throws it all open because we need math. We need the hours time our labor rate equals your charge.
Right.
But all of a sudden, you can sure play with those numbers when all of a sudden you're just going to give them a number. So I'm going to charge you $260 to replace your canister. And that's the labor. Okay, well then how much is diagnostic and how much is actually labor? No, I didn't. I'm just $250. Well, I don't know. The Diag would probably be cheap, and I think the R&R and most of the canisters is pretty – remove and reinstall is pretty cheap too.
Yeah.
But all of a sudden we've got this single number thing that I see as a choo-choo train coming down the track. Mm-hmm. So it's okay, though. We'll survive. We've survived before. 602-508-0960. Kurt and Eric from Kurt's Automotive, and Mark Salem and Alan here from Salem's in Tempe. But it's not about the shop. It's about you.
Now, once again, here's Mark.
Well, welcome back, everybody. 4 minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock. My name is Mark Salem, and we're here for the next hour talking about cars. Every Saturday, we're here from 10 to 12 talking about car and car repair. And we're trying to help you, me and my guests and stuff, are trying to help you understand what sounds right and what sounds wrong and what is right and what sounds wrong and all that kind of stuff. We're trying to help you just get through the maze of what we know. And, Kurt, how many years you've been... When did you first start twisting wrenches as a kid? Hold on. Go.
50 years ago.
50 years ago. In 1968, I was pumping gas at a Shell gas station, doing oil changes, and balancing tires with a bubble balancer.
Yeah, well, Yeah, I know.
I was going to say. So, nevertheless, that's what we're all about. And one of the things that I'm real proud of is I have a list of the really good shops in town, and I tell you about them. And this show is not about my shop; it's about them. And there is good shops in town. Thompson's Auto Repair and Towing is the only one in Mesa that I could find that could meet the criteria that I demand upon our shops. Not only that is I know Brian and Thelma because their families owned gas stations in the 60s and 70s, so I know their parents, and both of their families were involved in the gas station business. So for Brian and Thelma to now have their own auto repair shop, and of course they've been around for a very long time, since 1970, then I'm sending you to them because they're good people, and they know what they're doing, and they know right from wrong. So if you're in Mesa, I'm sorry to tell you that I only have one that's approved, and that's Thompson's Auto Repair and Towing there on Main Street just east of Stapley. Real quick, we're going to finish our conversation. You brought up a good point, and I didn't get there because the clock was there.
Yeah.
We were talking – I object to the just the one number because it sounds like we can make that up. But you reminded me what?
Most customers just want to know a number.
And there's really merit to that. But you also said something else is we'll share with how we got there.
Yes.
So you're saying it's 2.1 hours at our labor rate at 1.5 or $150 an hour equals the money I gave you.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. That's playing it right.
Right.
It's just throwing a number out there and then saying, I don't know where the number is, or I didn't get it, the shop foreman gave it to me, or whatever. That kind of creates the perception that it's a little different.
Right.
Okay?
Transparency.
Thank you.
That's the biggest problem, is that just a number in itself don't give them any idea where you're going, what they're getting, what repairs are being made, or anything.
And that's, I like the explanation part is, ma'am, what you're paying for is we're going to pressure test your cooling system. We're going to find the leak. Then we're going to identify if we can tighten a clamp or if it's something that needs. Then you need a water pump. So then I got the water pump and the labor. I've got the coolant, shop supplies, environmental charges, and sales tax. Your ticket won't be more than this.
Right.
That's transparency.
Yeah.
That, unfortunately, there's a lot in our industry, both on the independent side and on the dealership side,
yes,
where transparency benefits, the absence of transparency benefits them.
Yes.
And a lot of them, I know up in Payson, there's some of them up there that just will give you the bullet number at the end, and they won't tell you how they got there at all. And that's difficult.
Yeah,
we've also got a tire shop up there that's telling people that the tire needs to be taken out of service because of years. And then one of them's got miles now, so he's deciding that we're going to take it out after so many miles. The DOT is the number that gives us the years, and I think you guys, 10 years on the passenger car side?
5 years, we still start questioning them.
Okay.
8 years, they're gone.
Okay. And you're telling the customers that's what's in their best interest.
Yes. Yeah.
In reality, you know, and I know, that most people are going to have their tires way before that.
Yeah. They wear them out faster than that, typically.
Yeah. But we've got somebody that's saying that once the tire hits 5 years old, we can't touch it. And there's nothing in our industry that says that.
Yeah.
There's nothing in there
at all. Yeah, and you notice that the federal government, now National Highway Traffic Safety, they won't touch this question. They will not put a date on anything.
Yeah. I know we're taking the dots on every tire. Department of Transportation number on the tire tells us what year and month it was made. We're logging all that, right, Alan?
Mm-hmm.
And what's our number?
We don't touch anything after 8.
Okay.
Yep.
So after 8 years, we're not touching anything. We're not even going to rotate it. We're not going to patch it.
No. Nope.
Not going to balance it. Nope. We're not going to do anything. We don't want to be the last one to touch that tire because it needs to be replaced.
Yeah.
Time tells us that.
Yeah.
So those are things that's kind of hard to tell people that your tires are expired.
Yeah. Especially if they've got 4,000 miles on them as somebody that drives it 2 miles a week, you know.
To the liquor store and back.
Yeah.
You know, somebody said that not too long ago, and I thought you're just going to get in a lot of trouble for something like that. But the idea is going to church and back or going to the grocery
just
store. Short drives all the way around. Okay, let's go to the Vern. Vern and John, you stay right there, but Vern, you're first. What can we do to help you?
Okay, I drive my car once a week. I don't go to the liquor store.
Okay.
Okay, now I sent the oil out for an analysis, and it came back, and it said, coolant or dirt may be present in the oil. So is this something that can go bad all at once, or is this a slow problem?
So give me more of the information. You took your car in for an oil change?
Yeah, and they gave me the oil back, and I sent it in for an analysis.
Oh, you sent it in? And
yes.
So, and it says there's a presence of coolant. Did it give you any idea with respect? Did it give you a number?
Yes.
Okay, share that.
Silicon was 24, sodium was 68, potassium was 40.
Okay, so what are the limits? Let's go with the silicon. What was the limit? What was the range that was okay? And are you outside of that range?
I don't see a range on here.
Okay.
Yeah, usually they give you a range.
Yeah.
It should be anything above this number is questionable. Above this number is bad.
Yeah.
What are we looking for in this oil analysis? What's the reason for sending it out?
Why did you do that, Vern?
Because I just purchased this car a few months ago.
Okay. Oh, it's a used car? Is that what it is?
Yes, it's a 1998.
Okay. So let me get this straight. You bought it, and then you took it in for an oil change, and you asked for some of the oil back. You sent the oil out for analysis, and they came back with some silica and stuff like that.
That's correct.
Okay. I got a question. Where did the container come from that they put the oil in?
Good idea.
I took it down there.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure it was a fresh container.
I think in this case is do another oil change and do it again and see if it's better, worse, or the same. Because you have zero idea. If this is the first oil change on that vehicle, you have zero idea if the guy inadvertently, put coolant in somewhere or did something. You have no history. Now you have a baseline. So do another oil change, wait 5,000 miles, do it again, and see if it's better, worse, or the same. I wouldn't stress about it too much.
Yeah, and if you even had... If it's not been driven very much and you get a little bit, or somebody recently did a service on it and, he said 98, he didn't tell us what.
Right.
But if it's a, timing chain driven water pump or something like that and you get a little bit of coolant in it, then it didn't all get flushed out or something. Anytime they did it, there's going to be some presence. So it could be previous history, could be, setting, something. You just have to see if it's changing. If it's changing, then we got a problem. If it's just consistent, then you're probably perfectly fine.
But I like what you said, and let me tie that together. There's symptoms here. Mm-hmm. If we got a coolant leak, we're going to be consuming coolant.
Right.
We're going to get a white foam on the dipstick. We're going to have a problem with the engine's going to run hotter progressively as we lose the, and we're going to have all of this with it. If we don't have any white frost on the dipstick, and if we're not losing any coolant, and if you shut the car off and the upper hose is really, really hard and tight, and you go back out 3 hours later and the upper hose is still hard and tight, then I'm not quite sure that I got a coolant leak inside. But if you want to take it to a shop, you would say to them, I'm going to bring my car in hot. Obviously, you'll have to get the cap off of it. I want you to pressure test it for 30 minutes for me. How much would you charge me? And I want to know what the loss was. That's it. And that'll tell you all you need to know, because if you're worried about coolant in the oil, if the cooling system is intact and holds pressure for 30 minutes, then it has to be a container problem, or
yes,
somebody drained it out and handed it to you and used an old quart can or a coolant container, a gallon coolant container to do that. So I don't think you have enough symptoms. I don't think you have any evidence. I don't think you have any signs that this is a problem. But I agree with the opportunity. Let's do it again after we start all over again. And number two, why don't you just go ahead and have the cooling system pressure tested? How much would you charge to bring it in and pressure test the cooling system, let it sit there for 30 minutes?
$75.
So I'm saying that...
Yeah, well...
Go ahead.
It is a problem. It's a mid-engine car.
Okay.
And you have trouble getting at the engine.
Well, we're not scared of that.
No.
Yeah, there's nothing...
everything's
because it's a mid-engine. The radiator's not mid-radiator.
Yeah.
The radiator's going to be at the front of the vehicle.
Yeah. This isn't going to be a problem.
When I took the oil change, I asked them to check the air filter. They wanted $125 labor to check the air filter.
And, I can't explain that because, I wasn't there. But $125 buys at least an hour's worth of my time, and I'm quite sure this old man can find the air filter on your mid-engine car and change it for $125.
Sounds like a Fiero.
Yeah. Is it a Fiero?
No, it's a Boxster, Porsche.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
I didn't think they made the Fiero in '90s.
Yeah.
That they were 80s cars.
Okay. We've given you the best advice we could give you. But, Vern, good luck to you, buddy. Thank you very much. John, you're up next. How can we help you?
Yes, Mark, I have a 2018 Honda Accord with 40,000 miles on it. I developed the rattle on the bottom of the car.
Okay.
So I took it into the dealer and had them look at it, and they came back and told me I have a left rear shock that needs to be replaced. And they didn't have one in stock, and they said they'd have to order it. Now, it's been about 3 weeks now, and still haven't gotten a notice that this came in. So I'm wondering, is there a difference in parts availability between a dealer and independent as far as shocks?
Okay, stop there. Alan, yes or no?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, but I will tell you right now, shocks and tires are my biggest backlogs right now.
Okay.
I mean, I've waited months for shocks.
We waited 6 weeks for a set of shocks for mine and Kurt's truck.
Okay. All right. Okay, so we're running into the same problems that you are, but I have a question. Have you ridden in this car, and have you had all four positions? Has your butt been in both front seats on left and right and in the back seats? And are you sure this noise is coming from the left rear?
I'm the only driver. I don't drive it much.
All right. So we'll just go pick up a couple of highway bums and have them sit around the car. And the bottom line is we need to you need to verify that this is coming from the left rear, right?
In my mind, it seems possible.
Okay.
But I can't. I no longer work on cars, so I don't.
Okay.
Can't crawl under there and look.
Okay, well, I think if I was sitting in the back seat and we've got a noise, I think I would know real quick.
Grab my three buddies or something and run around and tell them which one. Hey, where's the noise the loudest?
And just rotate your buddies in the car. You're not going to die because of a shock absorber problem right now. This is not going to be. It's no big deal. This is not a safety issue. This isn't anything that prevents you from driving your car. Does anybody disagree with me?
No.
No. You just keep driving it and wait till the shock comes in. So we are having shock problems. That's no, but this, for someone to create the perception that you have to have this right now is just not true, because the shock absorber's job is to push the tire down on the road. And frankly, it's going to do that anyway, because if the car is heavy, it's pushing it down on the road anyway. So
no, I didn't have any issues about safety or that. I always thought that there would be a stock of shocks in the United States from Honda.
No, let me explain. I've talked to some of the guys, the big guys in town here, and what's going on is that all these, first of all, no one's going to admit, but I'm going to tell you that virtually north of 70% of the auto parts come from China, because that's where they're made, and they're in boats. And they're outside that dock in California, and they can't get in, and they can't unload. And then here's a problem, too, is they got to leave with empty containers. So they're not going to give their spot up until they put containers on their boats, and then they go back to China, and they drop off the empties and pick up the other ones. The other day, one of them told me he had $1.5 million worth of batteries sitting on the dock in China. And he says, and now, after he ordered them, now they're going to charge him storage on the dock because the shipping lanes are empty. Yeah. Because half the trucks or half the boats are there waiting to take on loads, and half of them are here waiting to drop their loads.
Yeah.
And just in real quick, too, is you said Honda shocks, and we've had this conversation a million times, but there's probably, and I don't know this for a fact, there's probably 3 or 4 shock manufacturers in the world. So that Honda shock is made by somebody else. So you may be looking for a Honda shock when it's really a KYB, or it may be a Bilstein, or it may be a Monroe, or it may be whatever it is. But they just have different names and different stickers and different paint on them. So if there's a shock shortage, it's going to be pretty widespread. The difference is Honda dealers have access to Honda shocks. We have access to, just like I said, Monroe, Bilstein. You know, KYB. We have just access, but in reality, they're all the same.
Let me finish that thought real quick.
Sorry.
No, you did fine. Right. You did fine. You opened up something I'm going to pounce on. We don't buy Honda shocks we don't buy shock absorbers from any car manufacturer.
No, at all.
Our wives don't have Honda, Chevy, Ford, Chrysler, Lincoln, whatever. Nothing.
Nope.
We don't. So you're not likely to have that problem if you came into Kurt's shop or my shop because we don't care. Yeah. and we're going to just go to one of our other vendors, and when we look it up, we can look it up in three or four different part numbers using different catalogs.
Right. Not to mention, real quick, I just thought of this too. When was the last time you did one shock?
I don't.
I've never, ever, ever done one shock. That's okay. Kind of strange.
I think we done one on an accident car one time because that's all the insurance.
Yeah, I mean, if it's bad and it's yeah. leaking a
or
week
got
after.
Damaged it yeah, yeah. when they broke the tire.
But if that
off
thing
of
has more than 30,000 miles, 30,000 miles on it, it's getting a pair of shocks, yeah. period.
Okay, and it's an 18.
And he said so he has 40,000 miles, so okay. he should be getting a pair.
Yeah, so. And our advice to you is go ahead and get a pair, and you'll be a lot happier because if something happens, God forbid, something happens, and then all of a sudden we've got a noise or we've got a pull or we've got this or we've got that, then the question is which one of the shocks has done it, because over here we got the A shock and we got the B shock over here. Yep. So get a pair. Anyway, got to run, John. Thank you very much. 602-508-0960. We'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody. 23 minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock. My name is Mark Salem, and Kurt and Eric from Kurt's Automotive, I-17 and Bell are here. My son Alan is here, and we're here at your service. If you'd like to ask a car question or argue with us, or if you want to ask us to help you settle a family argument, 602-508-0960. Let me tell you real quick, Harker's Automotive is at 38th Avenue in Indian School, been around a very, very long time, since 1967. Bob and Ellen run and operate Harker's Auto. Ellen's at the front counter, and you're probably, it's not a good idea to walk in there and try to match wits with her, because she knows as much about cars than anybody I know. But Bob has a shop. And so if you're in that area, 38th Avenue and Indian School, I'm proud to recommend Larry Harker's Auto Rep. In addition to that, if you've got a problem nobody else can fix, he is one of about three shops I would send you to. So that's Larry Harker's Auto, 38th Avenue and Indian School. And Daniel, you're up next. How can we help you?
Good morning, Mark. Hey, enjoy your show. Very entertaining. So.
Thank you. Thank you.
Hey, I have a 2005 Chevy Trailblazer with the inline six, 4.2 liter.
Okay.
Original owner in about 128,000 miles.
Okay.
And just recently it developed a intermittent miss or a stumble in the motor, just a little quiver, and it happens like just after it warms up, and it'll cycle about every anywhere from 2 to 5, 10 minutes, and the other thing is if the exhaust, whenever it stumbles, it'll shoot a puff of higher pressure air. So, okay. and that's all I got.
Okay.
So
okay.
It's been a good running motor for past, 14 years, but.
Okay. Do you have a check engine light on?
Nope. Not
really. Okay. Okay. And it's what you're describing, would it be, like where there's a misfire where the engine goes yee, and then it goes ta 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 ta? Is that kind of what you're hearing?
No, just a real quick, 1 to 2 second stumble, quiver, and like about a 100, 200 RPM drop in attack. Okay. And it'll happen both at idle, or neutral, and in gear, okay. Reverse, forward gear. So,
what do you think, Eric?
Those had a lot of timing issues, so I'm not wondering if his timing actuator isn't coming out of time, so he gets one of the cams gets out of time for a second, causing airflow problems. But or he could have a misfire, and he's just not understanding it. You know, the coil breakdown on those is pretty common too.
Okay. Anything, Alan?
Not off the top of my head, no.
I think he's struggling to describe it.
He is.
But he doesn't. He hasn't been in our shoes. That would be something. Now, I guess, Daniel, the real quick question is does it pretty much do it all the time? So if you took it into a shop, you'd say, hey, all you have to do is stand here for 3 or 4 minutes. I want you to sit in the car. I want you to shut the door, put your hands on the steering wheel, and it's going to happen to you in just a second.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
It just happened about a week ago. Been good running motor, and In the past, it's had O2 sensor kick in if you drive it at high speed freeways.
Okay.
But if you don't drive it at highway speed, it O2 sensor doesn't come on the dash. So that's about the only.
Okay. So you have. Okay. Wait a minute. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say is he's ignoring a fuel delivery or O2 sensor response problem.
Okay.
So it's probably getting now where it's affecting more than just the highway speed. It's just the way it's affecting it. So
okay.
he's got a fuel delivery issue or a sensor. If it's reading rich and it should be reading lean, you know, it's going to change the way it fuel deliveries to do all kinds of funny things.
Right. On a 1 to 10 scale, this is a 3 or a 4
yeah,
on the diagnostic
side. Something
yeah, this hard. Isn't going to be something we're going to have to take the headliner out of it and take the dashboard out of it to find out what's wrong with
it. Okay.
Okay. So yeah. Do you have a shop already that you like and you love?
No, I'm in your neighborhood, Mark, so I was thinking okay. about taking it to your shop. So.
Oh, I wouldn't do that.
What did other guys say?
I can tell you this much. If you can make it happen and don't come on Monday morning or Friday afternoon because we're really busy, but if you can get it to happen, you can stop by. And say it's sitting out in the parking lot and it's running and it's doing it right now, and
okay.
I'm quite sure somebody in our organization with you know a significant amount of experience, which includes my daughter Andy and my son Alan, they can walk out there and sit inside. The question is what is it? And I think the consensus of the room right now, it's an engine miss.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
So that's what I would do. Okay, Daniel.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960 is the phone number. We've got 5 lines. You can get any one of them you want. You just call in. Gil's the one that answers the phone. He's going to ask you what your name is, and that's really about it. And then he says in my headphones, you know, Eric's next or Alan's next or Kurt's next or whoever, and then I write it down, and then sooner or later I'm going to get to you as long as Eric and Alan quit misbehaving and embarrassing Kurt and I.
Yeah.
So when it comes down to it, working on cars is a very rewarding job, would you say, Eric?
Yes.
And I like the part about it's broken and I fixed it.
Yes.
It's broken, I found it, I fixed it, and then I went and drove it, and the problem's gone.
Yes.
And I know that. Every once in a while, even at my shop, we miss it. We fix the wrong vibration.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about that. Everybody. 34 minutes after the hour, 11 o'clock. They should be here during the breaks when we're all arguing.
Yeah, you said something about unanimous a while back. That wasn't this break.
No, it wasn't this break. We were actually talking about, there is something good about this, because Alan and Eric are talking about shocks. And they like two different brands.
Right.
And I'm telling you, when I get done with this, I'm going to go call a friend of mine, and I'm going to find out who makes those, and I'm going to laugh my ass off if both of those guys are made by the same company.
Yeah, say they both come out of China.
Yeah.
Same plant.
Yeah, the Wing Ding plant in China.
Yeah.
So it's that happens a lot, especially like with engine oil. Engine oil, everybody's got all this purple stuff and the yellow stuff and the blue stuff and all this kind of stuff. Well, there's only 4 or 5 manufacturers that make oil, so it doesn't make any difference where the oil's coming from and what package it ends up with. They're all pretty much the same.
Yeah.
The quality's the same. So but that's what goes on in the breaks while we're all arguing. And Kurt and I are just watching the boys. we've been through this too many times.
Yeah, I can see that neither one of them agree with the other one yet.
Oh, no, that's okay.
No, they won't.
If all they're going to disagree on what brand shocks I'm going to put on my wife's car, that's good enough for me.
Yeah.
And what oil are you pouring? What brand? It was a brand.
I know. Just got that out. Who was the company that just got that out? The local big distributor.
Alan knows.
I think I.
Synergy bought them. Who was it before?
I don't know.
Fuel West.
New West?
New West is the Valvoline distributor, I'm pretty sure.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Fuel Co. was who it was. Synergy just bought them.
Okay, that's who we do business
okay,
with.
Okay, so now I'm buying Synergy oil.
Okay, who's your salesman?
Yeah, I can't mention their name around here.
Okay.
Is it Dane?
No.
Oh.
You fired him a few years ago over idiot
idiosyncrasies.
Idiosyncrasies?
Yeah, whatever. Wrong word.
What? I thought he worked for me?
No. You fired the big parts company because they treated somebody bad.
Well, I've done that before.
Yeah. So
I know right from wrong.
That's who.
although everybody else doesn't always agree, especially Renee. I mean, she's my lie detector. You know what I mean? Oh, you don't have any right. Okay, so I fired a parts company.
Mm-hmm.
Is this in the last year or two?
I think so.
Yeah, the one that was right behind you.
Yeah,
yeah.
Actually, we still do business with them, but not in the volume that we used to.
Yeah. So that's who we source the oil through, but they use Synergy for us.
Okay. I got you. So
why not just go directly to Synergy?
Because they never solicited us.
Well, let me ask you a question. Do you have guns, overhead guns and stuff like that for the oil?
Oh, I thought you meant the kind of...
No.
I thought this was going to get interesting. Oh.
Let me ask you, do you have overhead lube units?
You buy in bulk.
We have big storage containers. They come and fill them up when we need them.
And then how do you get them from there?
Jugs.
Oh, okay.
I think, I'll give you a hint. Dane is our salesman. We know everything there is to know about Dane. There is nothing that we don't know. First of all, I love him like a son. I mean, I think he's one of the, and his boss, Chris, goes back with me in the 70s when we used to go to Apex and you went there and all you did is misbehave for the entire week that we were at Apex. So I just watched it. You understand.
Yeah.
I wasn't part of that problem. But if you develop a relationship like we did, we went to Synergy and they put our overhead lube units in, they put our tanks in, they put our alamide pumps in, they plumbed the air. They had this guy that came in that just did magical stuff. And every product we have is on guns right now. Now, it takes about 21 seconds to put 5 quarts of oil in the car. And we don't have the plastic, we don't have the lids, we don't have the paper, we don't have the cardboard, we got nothing. The bad news is if you start gunning that stuff in there and the baffle's a little plugged up, you're going to have a heck of a mess. Because that valve cover is going to back up something fierce and you got oil everywhere, so you got to pay attention. Mm-hmm. So our overhead lube units have 4 products, plus we got grease, plus we got water, plus we got air. So and then there was a commitment for so many years of stuff like
right,
that.
Right.
But I think, you know, you got, what do you got to lose? Mm-hmm. Nothing.
Yeah, nothing.
Talk to Dane. Are you going to?
I'm texting him right now.
Okay. Alan and him are really good friends. Mm-hmm. I want to tell you, the two of them are as different as night and day. Dane is who you want your daughter to bring home.
That's what I was going to say. So Dane is a nice guy, right?
Yeah, yes, we're probably going to like him, huh?
That's not very nice. Wow.
Sorry, Alan.
Man. See where I stand. Well,
you're already married. That's what they were saying.
Oh,
okay.
Oh,
you're already taken. Yeah, they weren't comparing you. First of all, he's sitting next to the door. That means we can't get out of here until he moves.
Okay. Well, you mentioned guns.
Yeah, we're talking about carrying guns. I don't think that's a problem around here.
Yeah. I don't know who's armed, but somebody in this room has probably got a gun. Somebody, Alan, you know anybody?
Nope.
He carries a little .380 in his pocket almost all the time. Anyway, and that's from a business point of view. I've always had a relationship. We had Canyon State Oil back in the 70s, and then we had Mobil provide us our fluids. And then when we moved to Guadalupe and McClintock is when we went to Valvoline. That was Canyon State. And during that period of time, everybody knew one another. Everyone was friends, and everyone looked forward to the playtime in Las Vegas during the Apex. And folks, the Apex is where all the car manufacturers and all the car distributors and all the car guys, the installers, get together in Las Vegas, and we all make fools of ourselves and drink a whole lot of liquor that we shouldn't be drinking. So it's the big annual get together. So, but today with Synergy, I think you should talk to them. And then you could say, I haven't talked to Mark yet, but I'd like the deal that he has. And then Dane's going to say, well, as long as you do his volume. But I think how many different products are we shooting up there?
Five.
And tell me.
No,
what...
I'm sorry. No. It's more than that. There's seven.
Okay.
No. Not overhead. We have seven bulk right now.
Okay, but two of them we're doing out of a drum.
Yeah, the zeros.
The zeros.
Yeah.
The zero.
See,
20.
My zeros I have in. Yeah, well, in containers, but so I got five lubricants in bulk and three coolants in bulk.
Okay. Yeah, we're not doing coolants, right?
No.
Yeah, we're doing DEF though. We're doing DEF. We have a dispenser now, so when the diesels come in, we're automatically filling their DEF up. They love that.
Yeah.
They love that. And you can't imagine the money I'm losing on that.
I think I could.
Yeah, we kind of give away a lot of that, too.
Yeah. It's really a customer service.
Yeah.
But they sure do appreciate it when they're really busy, especially the construction guys. Mm-hmm. You know, they bring their car in. They need their truck anyway, and sometimes they'll sit in the lobby, but when you give it back to them, it's not full of fuel, but it's full of DEF.
Yeah.
Then they like that. All righty, 602-508-0960. We'll be right back. Well, welcome back, everybody. 44 minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock. My name is Mark Salem, and sitting here next to me is Alan, my son. And then we got Kurt and Eric. They're from Kurt's Auto at I-17 and Bell. There is more than 100 years of experience in this room. But there's really only two of us that know how the cow ate the cabbage, and that's the guys with gray hair. These two young bucks, they.
Mark, we're all over 40 now.
It doesn't make any difference. There is no replacement other than experience. And the fact that Kurt and I have a lot less hair
substitute.
Than you two. Yeah, substitute for experience. Thank you very much for that. Mm-hmm. So you two young bucks can say what you want, but you know what? We were around when points and condensers made us poop our pants. And when they went from points and condensers to electronic ignitions, we were thinking about retiring at 25.
And yeah, don't forget the fuel injection. That almost sent us over the edge.
Oh, the very first time we ever did a fuel injection issue, it was a really big deal. And there was a company here called TBA Supply, and it was Butch and what's her name, Jeter. And
I remember the names.
And so we all went to Butch's warehouse, and he had this thing, and he was going to show us how to flush fuel injectors. We could never get the car running. We never got the car running. And so we worked on that car there for two or three days. Then we brought it to our shop, and we could never get it. What happened is we never, ever cut the return line, so we filled the gas tank full of the chemical that we were supposed to clean the injectors with, which wiped out everything in the gas tank, which was the sending unit and the fuel pump. So we had to put it all back together. And I remember distinctly of, remember those days when we went to fuel injection? I don't know about you, but I was thinking about retiring, getting the heck out of business. Since then, think about points to condenser today with no distributor, direct ignition, coil over ignition, O2 sensors telling us how to trim the fuel, all that stuff.
Direct injection.
And direct injection.
Well, now you're even getting so much variable cam time, and you're getting rid of throttle bodies.
Exactly. And that's going to take all the fun out of it, isn't it?
Yeah.
All righty. Pete, you're up first. How can we help you?
Hey, gentlemen, Merry Christmas.
Thank you. And same to you. Thank you.
Hey. Yes, sir. Got a 99 Toyota RAV4 2.0 four-wheel drive, and I need to do some trans work on it. It actually belongs to my son. And the spec is calling for Dexron 3. That's the first question. I'm having a hard time finding that. The question is, do I need to put that exact transmission fluid in it?
Well, first let me just I can answer that real quick. We're in Dexron 2759 by now. So everything's backwards compatible. So you can get the Dextron 5 and 6. Yeah, 5 and 6. So it doesn't really make any difference. You're not going to find Dex 3, but 5 and 6 is backwards compatible. You have no problems.
Okay.
That's what we're doing.
Right. I didn't want to make an expensive mistake. I was actually driving around looking for the number 3, and I turned on the radio, and that's why I'm calling you.
Oh. All right. Those in favor that he should use 5 or 6, those not in favor, then speak now or shut the hell up.
He won't find 3. It's gone. It's been gone since like the 80s. No, I'm just kidding. But yeah.
I think on one shelf in my shop, I got an old cord of 3 somewhere.
No, shut up. You're going to have 20 people calling me saying, I want that. The answer to your question is you can use the 5 or 6 and have no problems whatsoever. But you had another one.
Yes, sir. So my son, he's 20. He was driving this car, beautiful car and everything. And he decided that since everyone was passing him as he was going up the hill towards Payson, that he would treat his three-speed as a an overdrive type of transmission. So he proceeded to drive in second gear up the hill for an hour. So he burned. He burned.
Laughing with you.
He burned out.
Laughing with you, not at you.
Well, wait a minute.
So he burned out his transmission.
Okay.
And he literally melted the transfer case to the transmission case. So we put a new one in there. A local mechanic did.
Okay.
And it's done fine for now. But he crashed it the other day. He pushed in the front end and. When I pull everything apart, it's going to leak. So this is why I had the transmission fluid question. Okay. So this rebuilt this new transmission that we put in there, it had 70,000 miles on it, and it works perfectly except when it gets hot. He's having trouble engaging reverse. Is that a solenoid issue or is that a total rebuild issue?
Well, it depends.
Or is that the same thing?
It's a pressure issue. The question is it pressure because the seals are old and hard? Does it ever get better if the transmission gets fully warmed up? Is the delay gone or almost gone? And when it's cold, it's really there? Possible?
So when it's cold, it backs up really nice. When it gets warm, it's hard to engage.
Well, that's just the opposite.
Yeah. Well, your fluid thins out a little bit more.
Right.
It's warmer, so it...
I know, but what? How would you diagnose that?
Pressure gauges. And you'd have to see.
But even then, if you...
The reverse is usually not solenoid driven on that, especially something that old.
Yeah.
It's usually manually driven, so when you put in reverse, it moves the valving, just applies the fluid. So he's probably got a seal in the valve body or something, or one of the clutch pack seals probably bypassing.
We're losing pressure when we shouldn't be losing pressure. And if he wants to swell the seals any, are you an advocate, like I am, a little bit of brake fluid?
I usually don't use brake fluid. They actually make special products for that.
Okay, and we're trying to swell the rubber seal slightly just for a diagnostic purpose.
Yes.
Okay, so what would you put in it?
Transex, ain't it?
Yeah.
Transex?
Transex, yeah.
Okay, so a can of Transex would be the appropriate one.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, that's what you could do. Put some Transex in it, see if that makes a difference. If it does make a difference, then it is a seal issue. And at that point, if everything else was working, is the problem going to be solved with just a clean up and refresh the valve body? Or
it just depends. If it's in the valve body, yeah. But if it's actually in one of the clutch pack seals, then it won't.
You got nothing to do but drive it. You know, it's a 70,000 mile transmission.
Yeah,
it's
one of those. If it's only in reverse, you just
wait
till a Ford gear goes out.
It sounds like the way your son driving it. That this truck ain't gonna be around. For that
Yeah, I'm thinking he's safe. It'll never last that long.
Have you ever seen a transmission melted to the transfer case?
I have not, but I would have loved to have seen that.
But wait a minute, 2 hours up a hill.
Banging on it.
Okay. There is no hill between Tempe and Payson that it takes 2 hours to go up the hill.
Well, he said a 2.0 Toyota. I mean, that thing was only running 30 mile an hour.
I know, but two hours, and he rode it so hard that he melted the transmission.
You know how hot that exhaust was?
Oh my God.
I can't believe he still moved.
What that connotates just what the heck?
It must still move. The front end's beat out of it.
I mean, did he have like half the girls from the local soccer team in the back seat or something like that? I don't know.
They were actually going up to a party in Payson, but
okay.
I'm glad I could make you laugh. It just made me sad.
As a dad, it would make me sad too. Don't get me wrong. I'm laughing with you. Like I already said that.
Oh, you just shut the hell up over there. He's the one that he brought home cars that were in a laundry basket.
Absolutely.
He's pretending like he's the dad now. Well, what about when I was your dad?
I know.
Yeah.
I get it.
Gee, Merry Christmas.
What, you disowned him? You said was.
Yeah, you know, I might do that. But I want to tell you something, Pete. I can sympathize with you because this kid that's sitting here next to me right now, he brought home his car a couple of times on a tow truck. And dad wasn't real happy, but nevertheless, something. He's going to learn, or he's going to have to start paying for some of this himself. So anyway, Pete, good luck to you. Thank you very much. Did I miss any breaks?
No.
Okay. We're going to do Steve then. Steve, you're up next. Thank you for holding through this laughter, and how can we help you?
Hey, good morning. You and I briefly spoke last Saturday on my 06 Cadillac XLR North Star. I have an intermittent check engine light, and the poor guys at a Westside Cadillac dealership, I won't mention any names, we get a misfire on the code, but they can't tell me what's going to fix the car. However, when it initially first time did it, in their diagnostics, they said I had an issue with the ECM, and I spent $2,100 on that, and the check engine light came on probably 2 weeks after that.
And with the same code. Wait a minute. With the same code.
Yes, yes, okay. Sir. Right. Same code.
That doesn't happen when you come here, does it, that, Steve?
I was hoping that maybe they still had the old computer, and I was going to, you know, stand tight on my spurs and say, maybe I really didn't need an ECM, but they said I did. And like most of us, we do what we're told. Every time this check engine light comes on, it's at normal operating temp.
Steve, stop. Stop. None of this is going to help us. None of us can diagnose it looking through your eyes. None of us have the ability to listen to you and say, this is what it is. It's unfortunately, the Cadillac guys who are supposed to know the Cadillac really well are saying to you that they can't find and fix it, which would suggest to me that the problem is intermittent, at least, and there's some codes, but nobody really knows what direction the codes are sending us. So you only have two choices. You start guessing, or you wait till it gets worse and easier to find. That's it. You've only got those two choices.
Unfortunately, the dealerships are also time, and so if they can't pin it down, they ain't going to spend the time like me and you would to actually drive it a little bit and actually make it act up if it's not acting up currently for them.
And I agree with you that we have that kind of personalized service. Many shops in town have that kind of personalized service where we've got one guy or two guys or three guys that are really good with that. And if you're okay, then you drop the car off and you just leave it there, and Eddie takes it home and Eric takes it home and he drives it back and forth, and they've got a scanner that's already hooked up and they're watching serial stream data and they're watching the crankshaft sensor and all that kind of stuff. So we're just not going to be able to fix it. But hang on to your receipts, because after you get it fixed, you might want to go back to a particular shop that couldn't fix it and ask them if maybe they were talking about it's probably in the – because it's going to be in the fuel system or the control system or the spark system or – I mean, it's going to be something like that. And so if they're talking fuel, 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 and it turns out to be spark, 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 then you might want to ask them in a nice way if they would consider some kind of a refund. But that's the best I can offer.
Yeah, and he asked about them having the computer. If the car leaves, the old parts are gone from our shop in 2 days.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm not quite sure that that's a good way to do it. It would be better to negotiate maybe some kind of a discount on the next labor or something like that, or at least ask for that kind of a conversation. Getting parts and put – now, this brings up a good point. Why didn't he ask for his old computer back? Because this would eliminate that. Yeah. And I'm a real advocate. And my trash bill is half of what yours is because I give him all the trash back.
But the computer probably has a core on it, so you ain't going to get that one back.
But how much is the core on the computer, on the ECM?
Depends on how rare it is.
Okay. Yeah.
$150 and up is common.
Okay.
I've seen some computer cores as much as $500 to $600.
But the customer can make up that mind. The customer can say, I want the computer, and we mark it and give it to him, and then he brings it back and we return it. So, I mean, that possibility exists as long as everybody's marking it and signing off on it and stuff like that, serial number, login and stuff. Well, Steve, that's the best we can offer you. Anyway, Eric and what's his name over there? Kurt? He's been kind of quiet.
Kurt,
you know what I mean? Yeah. And Alan, I wish he was a little. I like how he goes, I'm laughing with you. I'm laughing with you.
Yeah. And he was the only one laughing.
He was. He was. And he wasn't laughing with him.
No, he was not.
He wasn't laughing. But we hear that a lot. We hear that kind of, well, we did this, we did that, we did this, we did that. And we already know at the end of the story. We still have the problem or we wouldn't be talking.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, the guessing is sinful in our organization, but it's really predominant and prevalent everywhere else. So thanks for spending your Saturday with me. My email is mark@marksalem.com, mark@marksalem.com. You're welcome to send me an email. If you're going to ask me a car question, give me your phone number, because typically I have questions I want to ask you, and I can't spend the rest of my life doing back and forth 10 times. So a lot of times I'm going to call you from my blocked cell phone. If you don't answer, I'm going to say, this is Mark Salem. I'll call back in 5 minutes, and then I will call back in 5 minutes, and we'll talk. So that's kind of how it works, but that's what's easiest for me. And then that way I can ask you a lot of questions. But long dialogue like that over an email chain is just really cost prohibitive as far as I'm concerned. So anyway, mark@marksalem.com. Drive safely. Wave to somebody if they do something nice for you.